You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
I like make my girlfriend grind with me now because I never got to do it when I was growing up.
All the time.
Yeah,
extremely
on so
in public.
Many I'm like, we're like in the kitchen. I'm like, we're making up for seventh grade.
To the window. <All right. laughs>
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's duck out together. See what it's all about.
Ducking out, ducking out, ducking out, ducking out.
Hi, and welcome to Ducking Out, a podcast that hopes to make enough money to record from space with all the other assholes. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're diking out with comedian Carly Montag about being the odd one out.
Like the odd one out of the atmosphere
in space. Yeah, there you go. The one out there.
I saw a tweet today that was like, for people that are making fun of billionaires for this, space exploration is really important if you're really concerned about climate change and the Earth not being livable in a few decades. I'm like, oh yeah, we ruined the Earth, so let us go to space and ruin that too. Like, if we make the Earth uninhabitable, I'm going to go out on a limb and say we shouldn't try to do this again elsewhere.
Yeah. I saw a tweet. Did you see that tweet thread that was like, I'm married to an astronaut. Here's what you need to know. Like, in response to all of the people saying, like, they're just going to leave this planet behind and make it just another Earth situation up there. And how she was like giving really like scientific, like the fact that space is trying to kill you. There's no way that they're going to just go up there and enjoy amazing space to like leave Earth behind. Like, it, space is physically trying to kill you.
Yes.
And like had like just broke down like everything that goes into taking a shit when you're up in space, everything, like all the nitty gritty, and still just reply guys refuting science. It's amazing.
I love a good space poop thread.
Yes. So.
I'll have to look that up. Wow. Well, space was pretty straight by the looks of it.
Yeah.
But here on Earth, we were doing gay things. What's the gayest thing you did this week?
Oh, my God. You know, this just popped in my head before. I had one locked and loaded, but I watched the soccer game yesterday. That's pretty gay.
Oh, well,
with a bunch of lesbians.
It wasn't women's soccer, though.
No, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah. Forget it.
Sorry.
Yeah. Pretty straight teams, right? England, Italy.
Yeah, but watching it with lesbians.
I did watch it with lesbians. Yeah.
Okay.
I went to Good Judy, famously queer bar. We do our shows at. By that, I mean we had one show there because we've only had time to do one show. They've only been around a year. They had their 1-year anniversary block party in Park Slope. yesterday.
They have two varieties of Dyke beer.
Yes.
So if you're in New York and Brooklyn, check them out. We love them.
Place to be. They had drag shows, but one of my friends, Lindsay Bowling, past guest, a soccer dyke,
yes,
came over and was like, can we just put on the game? Like, while I was getting ready. We need to watch it, but like, can we just have it on? And I just like had to download the ESPN app in front of her. I thought I had it. I've watched stuff on, but I don't know. And then I already felt like a lame dyke for that. Having to download the ESPN app in front of a lesbian, not the best look.
If it was a real dyke sport to watch, it would be on ESPN3. That's where the softball games are.
Maybe,
or
that's
ESPN
what,
College.
ESPN2, yeah. Women's college basketball. But it was playing at all the bars. Like, we would dip in and out of the street fest once we made our way there, and then like got food, and it was playing on all the TVs, and we had a little table of lesbians watching it, not just on the TVs, but on our phones.
Did anybody make a "you're a wanker number 9" joke?
No.
Why? Okay.
Understand.
Imagine me and you.
What?
Have you seen the movie Imagine Me and You?
Yeah. I don't remember.
They're in the stands and she yells, "You're a wanker number 9. And then they have a callback to it at the end when she's standing on the cars. And that's the whole moment.
That's the whole moment.
That's our only wholesome rom-com moment is "You're a wanker number 9.
Why do I feel like I rented that at Blockbuster? Like, I don't remember. Sorry. Well, now I have to rewatch this and Jennifer's Body. If you listen to our Patreon episode, you'll know why.
So I just wanted to make sure that I was getting that right after shaming you so hard about it. And I type it into Google and it's part of a list of 14 lesbian mating calls all single ladies should use. So
here I am, not knowing the mating call, not having ESPN on my Fire TV. What am I even doing here on this podcast?
Chocolate and vanilla swirl. Swirl is one of them. That's only in specific situations. Yeah. Talking, laughing, loving, breathing, fighting, fucking, crying, drinking. Would you use that as a pickup line?
I've never been able to say it without looking.
Hey, shrimp girl. I don't know what that one's from. This is an old BuzzFeed, so the links are broken. You're looking very Shane today.
I still say embarrassingly.
The Xena warrior cry. This is a fun one. Anyway, you're a wanker number 9. So what was your other gayest thing?
Okay, so I, after being completely depleted from June, practiced a lot of saying no over the last week. Saying, no thanks, I'm going to stay in. And just kind of stare at my cat and just regenerate. And
while still managing to go to a gay block party.
I know, Melody. That was yesterday after a long week of rest. Okay. All right. I, on Saturday, didn't leave. I watched so much television. I obviously watched Gossip Girl. I watched all the things everyone's telling me to watch. But then I was like, why am I watching everything I feel like I have to watch when all I want to watch is Tig Notaro? I want to watch a comedy special from pre-Trump presidency where, like, we're just all laughing in our ignorant bliss about the minutiae of everyday life delivered by a deadpan lesbian. Please, that's all I want. So Allie and I sat down to watch Tig's 2015 stand-up special, Boyish Girl Interrupted. Famously, the one where Tig takes off her shirt and shows her double mastectomy scars and then just like finishes out the special in it. But like, I had a visceral reaction, and I've seen this special before, but like not since then. And I don't know if I was crying because I missed I was feeling nostalgic or because it's so funny, but I was just weeping laughing. Like, I have not laughed like that in so long. Like, I've never felt so much watching a special. So just like PSA to anyone wants to watch a good special. I forgot how much I love it. It was beautiful. Like, I've wept crying laughing.
Tig is always a great one to revisit.
Yes. Carolyn.
Yes.
Regale. What is the gayest thing you did this week?
Well, I was in Buffalo and my aunt and cousin suggested that we go and take a day trip to Lilydale, which is a place that I've heard of many times, but I've never gone. And Lilydale, it is a hamlet in New York State connected with the spiritualist movement. And it's basically a little town full of mediums. So people who speak to spirits.
Yes.
I didn't really understand fully what it was because I was like, oh, I could go for a tarot reading, but they don't do tarot because that's not part of this religion, which is spiritualist. And that's a whole religion. So you go there, you pay an entry fee, and they have like these services that they do. And they do it usually if the weather's nice at a place called Inspiration Stump and you walk into the woods, there's a pet cemetery, which is very sad, but also cute. Because it's like a cemetery, but then lots of like little dogs and cats and sculptures. But yes, very sad, but fun because of the names. You know, it's a little bit different. More fun than your average cemetery. I don't know. And then you go to this Inspiration Stump, which is like this huge tree stump. And that's where they do these services. Well, I didn't know what the services entailed. And somebody said, well, in one of the shops said, you should go to one of the services. And we went and they're like, oh, this is a service, like a church service. So we sat down and we're like, huh, what did we sign up for? What's going on? But in their services, what they do is they have just different mediums come in and see what spirits are speaking to them and trying to connect them with people in the room. So I was there with my aunt, my cousin, my mom, and Cecilia. We didn't get connected with anyone there, but we weren't worried because we had tickets for later that night for like a special medium that was coming through town and doing like a longer 2-hour session like you see on a TV show type thing. A lot of people book individual appointments, but they were kind of expensive. So, and then it's overwhelming and you don't know who to pick. Also, like, I don't know. None of us felt like, except maybe my mom, but none of us felt like we had dead people that we had like unresolved business with. Like, I love my grandmother, but I also don't need any messages from her. Like, I know where she stands, you know, unless she has like lotto numbers for me, like leave her alone.
Right.
I don't know.
I know where she stands.
Yeah. Like, my mom didn't have closure with her next door neighbor who died kind of suddenly and she was kind of seeing him. And I think she was hoping for something there. We didn't get connected with any spirits, unfortunately, through the experience. Though it was cool to see, and some of it too. And I'm such a skeptic, even though I do believe in some of this stuff, but I'm also just so practical that when they started giving out details, I'm just like, yeah, they probably Googled who bought the tickets and then they looked up any related obituaries, but it got freaky. Like, there was stuff that definitely would not be
good.
Yeah. Like, at one point, he's like, is somebody here a yaya? Is there anyone Greek here? And this woman's like, I'm a yaya. I'm a card-carrying yaya. And then it was like, your son's here, and your son also has his daughter who also passes a baby, right? And she was like, yes. Like, it was crazy.
Not Googleable.
Yeah, just stuff. And I don't know, like some of them were so emotional and these people are just like in tears getting these messages from the beyond. And then it was, you know, giving me goosebumps or making me teary. It was a cool experience, but I thought it was going to be like a lot more shops and stuff like that. There's only like 3 stores and a cafe. It's really, you just go there if you want to talk to
them. Well, you're
dead.
Not there for material things, babe.
Right.
So, I just Googled it. I want to go to there.
Yeah. I mean, the gayest thing could be just going to Lilydale because it felt really gay. But I think the gayest thing was that there are a lot of these really cute older homes there and that a lot of the mediums live in. And we were walking by this one home and Cecilia and I were both like very drawn to it. It was this beautiful blue home on the corner. And on the porch, they had like all these cool planters. And there was one planter that was like a woman's head with like flowers coming out of it. And we kept walking and Cecilia kind of stayed behind and was like taking pictures and like taking a video of some of the stuff. And then she caught up and was like, that porch had just like really good vibes. I just really like the vibes of that porch. I wonder if there's like a medium there, but I would want to go there. So we go into the store around the corner and the woman behind the counter goes to Cecilia and was like, hey, were you just admiring my flowers? And I look out the window and it's kind of weird because you cannot see the porch from the window from where she was standing. So I don't know, like, how she saw her. It was kind of weird. But she's like, I registered you because you remind me of like an old client I used to have who was like a very sweet soul, and kind of like described Cecilia's personality a little bit, but was like, oh, you remind me of this other person. And I don't know what's happened to her or if she's still with us, but she was very sweet. And Cecilia's kind of like weirded out because she doesn't know like what to make of it. And she's like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I think this person like owns that blue house. It's very pretty. And she's like, oh, you guys can go sit on it if you want. I'm totally honest. If you can go and have a seat and you'll see that there's a robin's nest. And then on the other side of the store, this total dyke, this older lesbian was like, oh, it's so lovely in the morning when the robins comes to the nest. I'm like, lesbian couple, those were the good vibes.
There you go.
That we were picking up on. And we went and sat on the lesbian's porch and they had like little rainbow crystals and stuff like that that we picked up on. So I think that was
That's pretty gay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're like, they're lesbians. And my aunt's like, how can you tell? I'm like, what? Did you not just see these two women who live together and they both have short hair
talking
and one's wearing
robins?
It's talking about robins in the morning. And they own like a shop in Lilydale that's all just like angel spirit stones and
shawls. Can't wait to go there.
Yeah. So that was my experience in Lilydale.
Love that.
So I wasn't able to connect with any dead people, but what do you say we try connecting with someone who's very much alive, very much human?
Today, we're diking out with comedian Carly Montag. Carly co-hosts the podcast Alone at Lunch and has performed stand-up all over and in festivals like Women in Comedy, Cape Fear Comedy, and the Midwest Queer Comedy Festival. Let's get into it.
Carly, thank you so much for being here and diking out with us today. How are you doing? You survived Pride Month.
I survived Pride Month. It is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
I feel like we're going to be asking everybody for the next 5 or 6 months, being like, yeah, you survived Pride. Yeah. This one felt especially intense.
It's next May. You're going to be like, you survived last Pride. Pride starts tomorrow again.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I didn't even realize the parade was virtual until like that morning.
Me neither. I was Wait, what? There were so many marches and parades happening regardless, like legitimate like artists booked on a pride stage in the West Village, right? Like,
yeah,
Princess
but
Nokia.
It was virtual?
But it was apparently not the official pride.
The only pride thing that was virtual was the actual parade. Everything else was just in person.
Oh,
I don't know
so
why they
the music. Okay.
I don't know why they had to do the parade virtually. Maybe to allow everybody who couldn't make it to experience it. I don't know. Maybe they were trying to be inclusionary.
What was it still 12 hours long?
I didn't watch.
You didn't watch?
I was too busy doing the in-person stuff.
Yeah. As people know from last week's episode, my problem with the queer community is that we're too inclusive on certain things.
Oh, God.
Melanie's like, watch it. No. Too many flags and too many floats in the parade.
There are a lot.
You have to draw a line somewhere. We don't need Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, where would they put all the celebrities if not on the AT&T floats and the
right
water? Just the water floats.
The water floats, reminding us to keep hydrated.
Exactly.
Carly, you are a comic here in New York City.
I am.
How long have you been here for?
I have been a comic for 4 years. I've been living in New York since college from 2008.
Okay.
Not to date myself. So I've been here, what is this now? 12? I don't know how to do math. 12 years?
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Something like that. Someone's going to be like, that's not math. That's wrong. But a while.
And gay most of the time?
No, surprisingly.
Okay.
Interesting.
Gay for the last 6 years.
Oh, only the last six. Okay.
Yeah. Not specifically straight before that, but just not realizing that.
Right,
I was
right.
Still pretty gay, just not out to anyone, even myself.
Didn't have it on a shirt, you know?
No shirt. But living a gay lifestyle without knowing I was gay.
Right.
No boyfriends, not touching women too closely in case they thought I was gay. You know, the usual.
Sure, sure. I don't know why I acted surprised, because I was just on your podcast where you did mention that you were late in coming out, but for some reason I still thought it was...
Well, maybe because I seem so much older. I'm 31 and I came out when I was 24.
Okay.
To both myself and others.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride these last 6-7 years. Probably the best, most myself I felt ever, which is great. Finally.
That's good. Yeah.
I've had a great time, because growing up, you know, I definitely gave all the signs, but I just assumed, as I think everyone else did, that I was just a athletic tomboy.
Right, right.
And I'm actually surprised when, like, my friends who were also female athletic tomboys grew up to be straight. Because I'm like, I thought we were all in this together.
Yeah. It still surprises me.
Same here. That's the biggest mindfuck.
I can't. Like, my best friend at the time, we played basketball together. We did everything together. And she's, like, married with child now to a man. And I'm like, what? I thought we had this thing. I didn't.
But do
I
you understand. Still think maybe?
Really don't. But it still surprises me.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I do want to get into your childhood. But before we do, can I ask?
Yeah.
What is the gayest thing you did this week? What are you up to currently?
The gayest thing I did this week was go bowling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow.
We haven't had that before, but that's pretty gay.
Yeah.
Took my breath away.
Gay. I mean, with my girlfriend, but also with my sister and brother-in-law. So I brought them into the gayness of the week. It was great.
Did you go in Brooklyn? Do you live in Brooklyn?
I assume every comedian
in New York lives in Brooklyn.
I do live in Brooklyn. I actually was down in Virginia visiting my sister for July 4th.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't know when this is going to air, but July 4th was this week.
Yes.
I was like, my girlfriend and I were like, can we go bowling? And it was way cheaper than $100 here. We have looked it up here in Brooklyn because we want to go.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's so crazy expensive.
Yeah.
It was cheaper for us to get to Virginia and go bowling there.
Yeah. Right.
Fair.
Than to just do it here. If you want to do it at Times Square, it's like $100 an hour.
It's nuts.
No thanks. I went somewhere in like Industry City or like that area of Brooklyn. Reasonably priced, but like you got to get out all the way out there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that ultimate gayest thing I did while bowling was get the highest score.
Oh,
nice. Nice. Yeah. Are you're competitive?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Like, what's your sign?
Knew it.
Gemini.
Okay.
Whoa. Twist. I wasn't expecting that.
No, we had too much Gemini slander on a recent episode, according to feedback.
Oh, I heard it. Yeah. I was listening.
So we'll go easy.
No, that's fair. Well, part of me obviously is very competitive, and the other part of me doesn't care at all. So that's
right.
The beauty of
Gemini. Parts at all times.
That's the beauty. It's funny because I feel like part of me wants to be like, ugh, I'm not even a Gemini. And then the other part of me is like, oh, I'm very clearly a Gemini.
That in itself, so Gemini.
Right. Did you enjoy the shoes they gave you to bowl in?
That's the gayest part.
I did. I do love a bowling shoe. I was looking. They're all Velcro? Is that correct? Or no, is that not accurate? What am I thinking of?
Depends on where you go.
I've had some lace up.
Oh, maybe they're all lace up. I was doing something recently and I was looking at how they're all Velcro. Oh, I was rock climbing. That's also the gayest thing I did. And those shoes are all Velcro. And I couldn't figure out if it was because people who rock climb can't tie shoes, or if there's something more stable about Velcro shoes. But no, you're right. Bowling shoes are tie up, and
probably so you don't trip on your laces while you're climbing, right? Like that could be bad if it like snags on a rock or something like that, right?
That is such a good point.
You
could die, probably.
Very likely people do it.
I'm very competitive in all things. My girlfriend is also very competitive, but I make sure to win.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Obviously.
Did you bowl in high school or anything like that? Or is it just like a thing that you're casually really good at and people find out once they ask you to bowl?
I didn't, but I really wanted to. I wanted to bowl in high school, but it was the same season as basketball. And I was really a big basketball player.
Whoa. So you had a bowling team in high school? Did you go to a very school? Very good. Did you go to a very big school?
I guess so. I mean, our grade was 400 people, so like 1,600 total. We're good at math, as you can tell. And we have like a bowling alley in our town. I used to go.
I thought you were
going to
say in your school.
Me too.
And I was going to be like, get out of here.
No, no bowling alley in the school. That would be pretty crazy, though. But I always wanted to. I actually, like, when I got burnt out of playing basketball, by the end of my high school career, I had just been doing it for so long and so competitive, I was like literally burnt out. And I was, I don't know if anyone, I was literally this close to being like, should I bowl instead? But I just, it was the one year I was going to finally become captain and I couldn't give it up.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, I just like it a lot. My dad was in a bowling league growing up. So it's just like, he has his own ball. I was like, oh, this is so cool. He used to come home late at night from his bowling league. I was like, I got to get in on this.
That's very dad. Oh man. There was a dad. I went to the Great Wolf Lodge recently. Do you know what that is? The indoor chain
from
indoor water park.
Yes. From the commercials.
And yeah,
they're real.
They're very real.
Exist outside the commercial.
It's like this. Obviously the water park is the main attraction, but they have like an arcade. They have rock climbing. They have bowling, and they're tiny little kid lanes, like with, you know, the smallest pins and the smallest balls. And a dad showed up really with a bag, like a bowling bag, and his shoes and his ball. Like, it's not going to fit. They're for kids.
I'm going to make a great dad one day, I think, honestly.
For sure. Bowling alleys also make me think of roller skating rinks. And it's rainy here right now. And I was like looking at something to do with my nephews. I'm like, maybe I'll take them to a roller skating rink. But I'm also very afraid of teenagers.
They are.
And I haven't been to one in a while. But teenagers on roller skates to me is like the scariest thing imaginable. Like not only are they like sassy, but they're going to like skate past me and just like insult me on every lap.
Anything like, with wheels, like teenagers on bikes, teenagers on skateboards,
scooters,
and cars. It's just terrifying.
Cars, yeah.
I think teens are the scariest of all of the ages.
Yeah.
Because like, they just like know how to hit. They just know where to get you.
Right.
Because they like, they're smart enough where they've been children. So they like learned all the children lingo and their brains are matured enough where they know how to also be an adult. Like they know just where to get you.
Mm-hmm. And they have no fear. Zero fear. Like my mom used to always be worried about me walking around the city at night. And I'm like, no, the scariest time is 4 o'clock.
When they're out of school.
On the subway.
Right, when they're out of school.
They've had some soda.
They're looking to show off in front of their friends.
I used to have to pass by, and my old apartment was like right down the street from a high school, and just walking by it to get to my laundromat, I'd have to walk by it. And I would like run. I'd run past it just so the kids wouldn't like.
Right.
They're like literally in uniforms in the lunchroom. And I just was so scared. They would like point at me through the window and start making fun of me.
The windows are shut, but you get hit with like applesauce anyway.
Exactly.
Well, this all lends perfectly to our topic.
Yes.
Being the odd one out, growing
up. Teens will make you feel that way.
That's it in a nutshell. I mean, I wore overalls like for my entire childhood. So
let's get into it.
That doesn't tell you anything. But I used to keep one open. I thought that was a cool thing to do, was just like to have one flapping in the wind.
Like New Kids
on
the
Block.
Yes.
I still feel this way.
I thought I was the coolest person, but I was the only one doing it. I feel like now that I'm older, I'm like trying to repurpose them and be like cool with overalls. And I just, to think I still look so nerd. I mean, they're so fun.
Do you wear them on stage?
I haven't yet. My girlfriend had a pair and I was like, I don't know, cleaning her room because that's what I do. And I found them. I just put them on and she was like, these are yours now. Like they're yours. They look better on you. So now I've acquired them and I want to wear them so bad, but I haven't got, I have so much like PTSD from wearing them as a kid that I can't that can't seem to feel cool in them yet.
Wait, so what's the PTSD? Like, were you picked on for, like, the people call you overalls as a nickname?
No, or? I just was, like, such a chubby kid, and I used to wear them just to, like, cover my body pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now I'm just like, oh, are people wearing overalls still because they don't fit into regular clothes?
See, here, like, I feel like a bully because I'm, I was just going to say, and you're a redhead, so were people calling you, like, Chucky? Because I would have, like...
Literally.
You can't cover your red hair with pink hair and just be a pink-haired bully right now.
I think that's what kept me from wearing overalls was my red hair growing up. I'm like, no way.
That's so interesting because I was a very fat kid and I... Yeah. Wore overalls. You'd think I would I've gained weight over the last year. Why I'm afraid to put them on because I feel like I'll look bad in them because I feel like they'll go right up my vagina. Like I'll just there won't be enough room for the material. There'll be no choice but to go in crevices. No,
they really like made me feel like better about my body, and I was like, oh, because I'm covering everything up just like I did when I was a kid. It's magical.
All right. Nice.
But this time I cuffed the bottoms to make it, you know.
Make it Brooklyn.
Make it hipper. But yeah, I was doing that as a kid. I used to wear baseball hats all the time. Like, I couldn't wear them in school, but at camp, I would be the girl with the baseball hat. I mean, having red hair obviously stands out. Like, playing sports, they'd always just be like, oh, I got the redhead, or who's covering the redhead? Like, I didn't even have a name for, like, years.
Right. So being a redhead, let's talk about that.
Being a queer redhead?
Yeah. No, but it is such a thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, like, how kind of different redheads are. Just.
Yeah, well, I mean, I make a joke about this, but I truly don't think I could ever date another redhead. Like, it just. If I'm in the room with another redhead, I automatically
kill
feel
them?
Weird.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, I feel.
One of us needs to die.
I truly don't know how brunettes and even sometimes blonde, I don't understand how you can be in the room with people who have the same color hair as you all the time. Like, it just feels weird to me.
That's really funny because you're not the first redhead to tell me that they could never date a redhead. Because I had a boss who was like, I feel like people would think we were siblings. They would just assume two redheads, they must be related.
Well, it happened to me all the time growing up. Girl, boy, it didn't matter. They'd be like, oh, you guys are siblings?
You
my sister would be right next to me. She's a brunette. And she'd be like, actually, I'm the sister.
Right, right. Yeah, I, on the flip side, am so attracted to redheads.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
I really, like, all my celebrity, like, every celebrity that has, like, red hair, every boy that I, like, pretend to have a crush on, it was, like, always the redhead, the rare redhead.
I've had to, and I really don't think this is the case, but I've almost had to, like, when I didn't start dating until I got older just because I didn't know how to date because I didn't know that I didn't like guys and then no guys were ever interested in me because they could get this vibe from me that I didn't like them back.
Yeah.
But once I did start dating, I had to kind of like get over this thing where like people who liked me, it wasn't like a fetish that they liked red hair. You know, because I've had people be like, oh my God, I love that you have red hair. And I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah, well,
but I also like, yeah, I don't know, I just, it's something that I'm like, okay, it's okay, like I'm not like a weirdo.
Yeah, well, I did date a guy who fetishized them. It was a real fetish, and I was always so threatened when I saw a girl with red hair around.
I mean, it is a porn category.
A porn. Yeah, so
yeah, I kind of feel like redheads fall into two categories though. There's kind of nerdy and weird and like really hot. I think maybe I'm like an in between. I don't know. But I feel like there's a Jessica Rabbit, you know, like the va-va-voom, like, and then there's like, I don't know, like gross, snotty, like kind of as told by Ginger. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I just can't.
South Park.
It's like my redhead brain says, like, you're either gross or very sexy.
Well, it doesn't count that like every portrayal of like a kid redhead in a movie was like the bully or just like this awful person. And that would feed into that. Also, in terms of like covering up your body, I mean, I know I didn't wear shorts until I was much, like, I would wear shorts on vacation, but in my hometown, I don't care how hot it was, I was wearing jeans because you're so pale. I'm just like so pale that I just felt like my leg, people would always comment on how freakishly pale I was and still am. And then I finally got over it in college, but I'm like, oh, I should just wear shorts because now I look even weirder that it's like 99 degrees and I have full on denim. Like,
yeah, I just never felt comfortable in general in anything short, like mid thigh up. So I was always in basketball shorts,
right,
100% of the time anyway. So maybe that kind of, I don't know, helped the situation. But now, even now, I'm like, my arms, because they get more tan, are completely different shade than my legs. Like, I'm like two different people, top and bottom.
Yeah.
It's a lot of freckles, though. I do have, I'm very lucky where I have freckles that kind of pretend to give me color, but it's really just...
Yeah.
Freckles.
Were you ever afraid that they would combine into one giant freckle?
They sometimes do. Like,
that was my fear.
When it's really sunny and I just get like, I look tan, but it's just, if you turn my hand over, it's just all freckles.
Yeah. Yeah. Melody is like, interesting. Cannot relate.
I get sunspots on my face. Is that freckles? What's the difference?
Yeah, that counts. Yeah.
I don't know.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in suburban northern New Jersey.
Okay.
Like the ultimate suburb, right over the, not too far over the GW Bridge. So like we could like come in often for shows and museums and class trips and things like that. But I mean, like very,
well, that's
very
a good place
suburban
to grow up as an odd one out, because you still have like access to shows or like things you're interested in the city, right? Or wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. I mean, I was huge into sports. We would come in a lot for like baseball games. And when the WNBA started, I was like there whenever I could. The All-Star games. And I had, you know, I would mostly try to, I mean, my family would take us to a lot of Broadway shows. So I like musicals a lot, which it's interesting to be like both sports and also really like musicals, I guess. I don't know.
Very but... gay.
Oh, that was that's also like a conflict in the school musical. I remember there was always a problem with like recruiting guys because of sports, and they wouldn't want to leave, you know, not participate in sports to have to.
Right. I gave up playing volleyball my last year of high school because I wanted to join the drama club. That was like very interesting for me.
It's a queer that dilemma.
Yeah, that was a turn of event. And then they went on to win. Then they went on to win state that year, and I hated myself. But you know, I was,
well, you could have been the weakest link. So maybe
I know. I think I was. I think that
I'm just kidding. That sounded really mean. No, I don't mean that at all. I'm sure you're very great. I mean, if you're great at bowling, probably great at volleyball. Yeah,
I think those are
similar size balls, right?
Yeah, interestingly enough, different weights. Weights.
Can you imagine if a volleyball weighed as much as a bowling ball? Okay, my mind today.
I wish the listeners could see. Just in a closet.
Your mom's closet in Buffalo.
Get me out of here. Yeah. So in terms of feeling, because I think anyone who's queer has felt like, I mean, even if you're not queer, I feel like everybody has a point in life where they feel like an odd person out. But being queer, I think
for me, the big thing was that like a lot of my friends were like from an early age, like having boyfriends when they're like in sixth grade and like, you know, like little things like that or crushes or like talking about their first kiss or where they want to be proposed to, like anything like that. And I couldn't grasp my head around like why it either wasn't happening for me or I didn't have the same like envisions that they did. But it never even crossed. I don't know if it because I wasn't like introduced to queer culture earlier enough or if I did, it was like, oh, that's what's on TV. Like it just wasn't in my brain that could have been even an option.
Right.
So like when my friends were like, oh, who do you have a crush on? I would like pick the boy that was like nice or that I thought was cool I didn't ever have like a feeling like I wanted to like be with them.
Right.
And then I couldn't really figure that out. About why. And then even when my friends were like, oh, like we should practice, I don't know, kissing or whatever, I'd be like, oh, definitely not.
Wait, who are you these know, friends just, I'm like, that want to practice really kissing?
Happen? Yeah. No, I've had my friends in like middle school. They were like, oh yeah, we like kissed last night, LOL. And I was like, okay, aren't you guys worried that people are going to think you're gay? But only people who like care that anyone would think that they're gay would care. Like that's
right.
Just,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until much later. Or like my friends, even when I got to like college or, you know, later, even I guess in high school, like when my friends are all like dancing up on each other, like kind of fun, I'd be like, oh, I don't think that's a good idea for me. Like people grinding. Are going to get the wrong impression.
Same. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Grinding.
And then to compensate, I would just like grind on men to be like, see, not gay, even though I was not interested like at all. But I would go like so hard in the opposite direction just to like throw off the yeah. scent of like, we're not going to let this get weird.
I like make my girlfriend grind with me now because I never got to do it when I was
same.
Growing up.
All the time.
Yeah.
Extremely
so
in public.
Many things. I'm like, we're like in the kitchen. I'm like, we're making up for seventh grade.
To the window. <Right? laughs>
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
No, I just like so many things that I just couldn't figure out why nobody else was like insecure about these things. And then
did anyone call you out on it?
Literally never. Not until yeah. It just wasn't like a thing. Like it wasn't, I mean, one time one person like playing softball, like someone put their hand on my shoulder and when I didn't like make them like I didn't like go ew, they were like, oh my god, you're gay. And, like that was it. Like but it was like what? It was supposed to be funny and stupid, you know? Like this girl like came up to me and she just like put her hand on my shoulder. It was like a game that you played to like see if you're gay. They'd be like, put your hand on your shoulder. And if you don't like make the person like take it off right away, oh, you must be gay.
Oh, wow. That feels very Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like so nervous. I'd be like, no, I'm not. But it wasn't even like, oh, but I definitely am. It just was like for some reason that was like so not okay. But I don't know. I just like felt very weird about it. Probably a lot of like internalized homophobia, like thinking back on it now.
Yeah.
But now that I just wish that like current 2021 me could be back in like early 2000s me, like with the way the world has changed and like how people are accepted, like everything, and see like if I would, I just have so many thoughts about like what that would look like.
How do you think it would have been different?
I don't know, because like the only like things that I saw that were gay were like Degrassi and South of Nowhere, like all these shows on like Canadian TV that,
right.
You know, like they were showing the stuff that we didn't even show yet, I guess, or like at the teenage level,
right?
And I would like literally watch those shows with my mom, and I wasn't even ever like, oh, oh no, like I just, that wasn't even in my mindset that you yourself could actually be gay. Like it just didn't make sense to me.
I feel like South of Nowhere would have done it for me had I seen that.
Oh my God, it was such a
before I came out, I would have been upset. I mean, I was obsessed only with that storyline because I've only ever watched it through YouTube montages. And
yeah. It was so good. But even like Degrassi had a bunch of people, like they were just like, people were gay one day, not gay. Like it was just like, oh, it doesn't even matter. But it didn't make, it never thought that it could be like something that you yourself did. It was like, that's what happens on TV.
Right.
But then, yeah. But I would like watch people, you know, on the street, like two girls holding hands. I'd be like, oh, that's so cool. But not understanding why I thought that was cool. You know,
those sisters
like,
must
anyone.
Be really close.
Yeah. And then there are like so many things, obviously, that made sense later on. But I feel like I it's not till you hear other people's experiences that you're like, oh, either not everybody was thinking these things because they weren't gay.
Right.
Or people who were gay were thinking these things. And you're like, oh, I was not alone. I mean, I was alone, but I wasn't alone at the time. You know, it's very interesting to me.
Okay. So you had friends.
I did have friends. I had
See,
I
here
had
I thought
friends.
We were going to relate on being these, well, like, bullied, no friend.
I went to
kids.
Private school growing up. Like, I went to a Jewish private school from kindergarten to eighth grade.
Oh, and okay.
So that was, not that there aren't, I'm sure there are people from my grade or from my school now that have come out since. But, like, it was not, like, we weren't, there wasn't, like, 400 people to be, like, one of you is going to be gay. It was like 60 people. And, you know, I was the one person who's going to be gay, but you know what I mean? So then when I got to high school, it like, we did have like the Gay Straight Alliance, like those types of things, but it was like so new to me. I didn't understand. I almost like was like, oh, I was surprised. I couldn't even imagine that people were like already understanding enough about right. themselves to even be a part of that in high school. Like I was like, how do you, are all of you ally? Like, what are we
right.
talking about?
That's how I approached it. I went to a Gay Straight Alliance meeting. Like, yeah, I love justice. I love helping out. I'm going to scoot yeah. to this after the Save Darfur meeting and just be an ally in any way I can. And like, I really thought it was just a group of high school kids advocating for gay adults. Like,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
surely there's no one here gay. I haven't thought about that in so long. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. Or even like, I didn't even like dare to go to a meeting because I was like, oh, even if I go as an ally, someone might think that I'm gay. You know what I mean? I don't know why I thought it was. It's so sad that I thought of it so negatively. But, you know, like one experience where some girl is like, oh, if I leave my hand on your shoulder, oh, you're gay. Like, that's all it takes.
Right.
For you to be like, oh, this is okay, never mind.
And then you just became like a super jumpy person where anytime someone like brushed yeah. by you, you're like, no homo. Nah.
Yeah, literally. Because it's like, okay, I don't know. I went to high school from like, what is it, 2004 to 2008. Like, yeah, we were like progressive, but it wasn't like you know what I mean? It wasn't like the most. Like, it was still like you'd call someone gay as an insult type thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I am so curious, like, how I would be a teenager now in today's day. I just don't know. Like, I didn't come out till after college. I wish I had known. I wish I had been gay in college. Like, I feel like I would have had a much different experience. Like, I feel like I'm reliving a lot of things now that a lot of people did so much earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, making all of these mistakes. Not mistakes, but I'm just, like, a learning curve so much later in my life. I think, like, odd man out now is just being someone who came out in their mid to late 20s, which isn't that old. You know, people come out way later, but it just feels like I'm doing all these things now that people did, like dating issues that people just like learned how to adjust to in high school that I never did.
Right. So you feel like now that you're more surrounded by queer people, now you're yeah. the odd one out in a different way because they'll have all these experiences and stuff.
Yeah.
That you can't relate to.
Exactly. Like when I date someone who like even, or when, I mean, I'm dating someone now, but like when I would be with someone who like I was their first experience, I was like, no, I'm still too like you. No, you need to have you need to find someone else who's like new. Like I'm more experienced now. I need someone who's even more experienced than me to keep teaching me. I'm not I don't have enough experience to teach someone else enough. Like, I need to keep learning. So, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm still, I feel like a novice. But I mean, my first girlfriend was 14 years older than me. And so that was, I feel like.
Glad you said older than me.
What?
I'm glad you said older than me.
I know.
14 years younger.
14 years. I'm like.
14 years old. I was like, I need to find someone who's at my maturity level. No, she was 14 years older than me. And so I was like, oh, someone is finally interested. I don't care how old they are, what their deal is. Like, I'm just jumping into it. We dated for like 3.5 years just because I was excited to finally find someone who was interested in me in a romantic way. And I was finally interested back. And then, you know, didn't last forever, but it was, I just learned so much. Like, I feel like I was just being a kid that everybody else was learning all these things. I was doing so much later.
Yeah.
So like when I'm like having struggles or, you know, I'm dating someone, they're like, how could you not communicate that? I'm like, I'm just learning that you're supposed to communicate that. Like, I don't even know
how to
do these things. Or, you know, when my first girlfriend, when we were like having a rough patch, I was like, okay, do all couples have rough patches or are we supposed to break up now? Like, I just didn't know. I didn't have anything to compare it to. I didn't know what to do with it. I think I was in it for probably 2 years longer than I should have been just because I was like, oh, we will work through this. That is how you manage a relationship, is just work through it.
Right.
But you also can also just move on.
Yeah.
That's also an option. It's been an interesting ride. I mean, I definitely feel like I've learned a lot and I'm more confident in a lot of things. Been only 6 years, but you know, a lot can happen in that period of time. And I think so back on so many things growing up that were just like so many signs.
Right.
But also, I wish I could just do it over. But also, would I be the same person now? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Like, would I be funny? Would I be a comedian if I was like,
well adjusted? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. See, I think all the time that I wasn't obsessed with boys, I was getting good at drawing and like developing these other skills, or like I wasn't afraid about looking dumb in front of guys. So I would like be more outrageous or take more risks or things like that because I didn't have those things in my, like, even though I wasn't aware of it.
But
I feel like that kind of aided in that.
That's a good point. Yeah, I would just play with the boys at recess. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I like, I can't talk to them. I'd be like, I'm actively friends with these people. They are my posse.
Yeah.
Melody, do you ever think about your life if you hadn't been bullied so much?
I mean, I can't imagine it. I don't think I would be, I would not be who I am today if I wasn't bullied. It's like shaped so much and still does, in good and bad ways. Like, it really still affects how I like perceive myself in a group of people. Like, it's definitely like a lifelong kind of anxiety that has stemmed from it. But yeah, I would not be a comedian. I would still be in maybe my hometown in Connecticut. I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny because like a lot of the jokes about comedians is that like, oh, our parents don't love us, or we come from like distraught homes or family, whatever it is. And I'm very fortunate in that sense, in that I have like very supportive family, very supportive parents. Like, I had friends growing up, and I, not always, but for a long time, I was like, why? What is it about me that I can bring to this table, comedy table, that I'm like my struggle? And you know, but it's true. Like, I think growing up and either like not knowing you're gay or still knowing you're like, whatever it is, like, that's in itself is like such a toll. It plays such a part. I truly hope that kids growing up these days, like, it's just like a whatever. I don't know if it is. I mean, it
depends
seems
on where
like
you live. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I wonder if like are those kids like, yeah, it's like a whatever. We need other struggles to get us into comedy.
Right.
Right.
Know, but
if you live on TikTok, then
yeah,
it's very whatever.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's just, yeah, any kind of other breeds a comedian. Like, you don't have to be bullied. You don't have to have like shitty parents. Yeah. You're just like not completely dead center status quo. It just gives you a perspective that you can't
exactly Help. I always thought it was my red hair. Like, I thought that was the thing that was like my other, I mean, I think it still like helps, but I mean, I didn't get made fun of a lot, but little things like, oh, like, does your carpet match your drapes? Like, people would literally ask me, like, my friends would be like, oh, is it like for real though? I'm like, this, what?
Yeah. Or,
you know, like, I grew up, so at the school I went to, we learned like Hebrew and the Hebrew half the day and English half the day. And like, red hair, you know, there's like a term for redheads in Hebrew called gingy. Like, that's just what it is. And so you can like say like a lot of things about redheads in Hebrew. Like, it just, it would come up a lot. Like, in my Hebrew name is, so we have different name. We have like given Hebrew names. And so in my Hebrew classes, my Hebrew name is Sarah, but there would be like so many Sarahs.
Right.
They would just call me, they just literally call me Gingy.
Oh my God.
Like, that would be... That would be my Hebrew name. Like, so for a while, I just was known as like redhead. They'd be like, okay, redhead, what's the answer? Like, and that was just what it was.
Yeah.
And it, you don't really realize that it's like formulating like
right.
this whole thing until you're way older thinking back on it. And you're like, oh, I just literally was called like, all right, redhead, what's the answer? Like, but when it's in a different language, it's like cute and fun. But literally, that's what they would be saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Fascinating. I just discovered that with you right here, right now.
Look at us uncovering things. I completely forgot I went to a GSA meeting. You're remembering Gingy. Yeah. Why is that to be so cute sounding?
I know,
it's better
right?
than Daywalker.
I wonder if it has any relation to like ginger.
Right.
I wonder if they're, we'll never know. Maybe we will. Sound off in the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I also had a lisp and I was chubby. Like, I had a lot of things going for me, but those are a couple of the things. I got taken out of class to go to speech therapy. Like, there was,
oh, really?
There was some stuff happening.
I got put in that because I was so quiet and shy.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. They just thought I couldn't speak. I was choosing not to. Yeah.
You just are waiting for that thing to stay. Mm-hmm. You're like the girl in Pitch Perfect who just like mutters under her breath the whole time.
Absolutely.
But it's like
still
super
slip
funny.
Into it, yeah.
In those situations where you're the odd person out, like at the time, do you realize it, or is it just like looking back, you're like, huh, I was really different than the rest of them?
I think I was cracking jokes so much that I didn't even like let myself have time to like live in it. I was just trying to be friends with everyone, I think. Just like avoid getting made fun of, or I mean, hopefully I wasn't like jumping in, but I can still I can actually think about like I was a chubby kid, and I can actually think about and this is horrible, where I'd be like, oh, that person is chubbier than me, like thank God they have it worse, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
I experienced that. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're just like, you're I could think about it, or you think about like just the discomfort of even being at a pool and just like what people are, the other girls are wearing, like there's that whole thing. And I don't think I was like, I had friends, like I really was very fortunate, like I wasn't an outcast in any way. I think it's because I was funny and I was athletic, like those two things really were. I honestly don't think if I had sports, like what that would have done, because I would always just be like, yeah, but I'm really good at basketball, even though I'm like kind of chubby and I have red hair. It's like, well, at least I'm like, I'm helping us win. I was fortunate where I just like kind of had a skill, but so I think I was able to bypass a lot of it and just kind of hide. But then even getting to high school, like I was playing sports and like on varsity teams, and I didn't party, I didn't drink. So like then there was that whole thing of like kind of feeling like, okay, I know I'm supposed to do these things, but I wasn't being invited to like the athletic parties because I didn't do all that stuff. I didn't do drugs. I wasn't like having sex with the football players. I don't know. What are they doing? I literally have no idea what they were doing. I couldn't even tell you. Was definitely like the, there's definitely the other in that where you're just like, okay, I know I should be at the parties. Like all my teammates are there, but I'm just not. And so that, I think high school was actually that time of like starting to see the otherness of like sports are not enough. Like there's more to, but growing up, like up until eighth grade, I could kind of get past with just like being good at sports and not being bullied because of it. But, and I wasn't bullied in high school either. I just like wasn't invited to parties. I don't know if that's a form of bullying, but.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wonder if I was giving off a gay energy. People didn't want me around. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh man, I'm just triggered. Sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I'm just like, yeah. Did anyone think I was gay? Couple people from my high school listen to this. Let me know. I just gave off asexual vibes, I think. And
yeah, I don't think people thought that I was gay.
Yeah. You just make yourself this like sexless, genderless.
Pretty much. Well, apparently, I mean, I literally had my sixth grade teacher reached out to me like 14 years later asking if I was gay. And she's like, because I always thought you were as a kid and I needed to know.
What?
Oh like, my God. It's
the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life. That she literally reached out to me and was like, are you gay? And I was like, what? Like, I haven't talked to you in 14 years. She's like, I've just been thinking about, you know, how interesting you were as a kid and if you ever found yourself as a gay person. I was like,
is this teacher gay?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
But like not, I mean, this is gonna not in like a cool way, but like in a way. You know, is that like a
right.
She was fatter than me. I'm just
kidding. I honestly went to a retirement party of one of my high school teachers and I was like, oh, I wonder if any of the teachers that I always suspected of being gay were there and like if they're gonna give me any kind of like, I know Carolyn, like, and yeah, the one like really gay math teacher, I was like really trying to get a reaction from her. Nothing. I'm like, come on.
But even today, like, I feel like I walk down the street and in my brain, I'm like, oh, I could pass the street. And everyone around me is like, no, you can't.
Yeah. I just had to tell my girlfriend this. She has like long blonde hair. She does stand up. She has this like opener that's just like, yeah, I know what I look like. I look like I wake up every morning, hop on a dick and ride to work. And then like I had to eventually be like, you know, you're looking gayer and gayer as you grow older. You might need to like tweak it. And so now she's like, straight people. I know what straight people think when they meet me. Like, just like add that because you look extremely gay. Like, backwards hat and overalls on stage. It's like, I know what I look like. No, I don't know if you do. Yeah. How about now? Like, if you're in a queer space, do you feel like an odd one out?
Sometimes I do. I feel like
in this queer space right now.
Specifically right now, definitely. Right now. Okay. I feel like very uncool. I still do, though. Like, I feel, I don't know if it's because I'm just kind of like very just chapstick. I'm just very kind of plain gay, just, you know, like jeans and a button up. Just kind of, that's my thing. Like, I'm not, I don't know. I feel like gay people are so cool. And like, just my brain is like, you're so cool. Like, pink hair, piercings, tattoos, like all the stuff. But I'm just like, I'm just your average person who happens to be gay.
Let me tell you, my hair is not pink, I'm very much a practical gay to the core. I remember I was in an improv class and I only clocked this other person, past guest, Amelia Bain. And I was like, you know what? I think she might be a lesbian because we both wear like sensible sneakers to every class. We both wear like similar cut jeans and we both wear just like a plain colored V-neck a lot. Just like very similar sensibilities.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think we're just both a couple of practical dykes. And I was right.
That must be it. I feel like I definitely fall into that category. I always like, have the right tool on hand.
Yeah. But
yeah, or like I'm carrying a Band-Aid. I don't know. I need a Band-Aid. But yeah, I feel like I definitely do feel like still kind of... Now, I feel like I definitely have found like my people, but even so, I'm like, okay, but am I cool enough to be part of this crowd now? The crowd that I was like, ugh, I don't think I'm part of this crowd. And now I'm like, but am I cool enough to be part of this crowd? It's weird.
Comedy too will do that to you.
That's what I was thinking comedy of when sure. I asked, when I said queer space, I meant queer comedy because
or regular comedy.
Yeah, true.
Just get, or yeah, when I, you know, I feel like I see like very attractive people, like models who are like gay, who are coming out or tell like their first thing is that they're gay. And I'm just like, no fair.
Like doing stand up?
Doing stand up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, you guys, of course, but you know, like people like Sydney Washington
oh,
or like.
Right.
Yeah, you're just like, but can you just leave it to the rest of us? Like, come on.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Arts people are like so cool. I don't know. I definitely don't feel like I don't fit in. Like, I feel like I fit in more than I've ever had before. I live in Bushwick now. I feel like I live in a place where I fit in the most than anywhere I've ever fit in my entire life. Just walking around, I feel that way. But definitely, I sometimes feel like I'm not cool enough for the party, but I'm happy to be
invited. Bushwick party? That's where I feel the least cool lately. Walking around Bushwick. Going to queer spaces in Bushwick.
Yeah, but you're like at Reese Beach every weekend, Melody. Like, see, that's one for me where I'm like, am I really a queer comedian? Because I don't go to Reese Beach. And I feel like Reese Beach now, it's like more of a networking thing than I like that. That's the appeal is gone because I'm like, it's not a relaxing day at the beach. It's like,
yeah, it is getting more of that. There was a legitimate photo shoot happening there the other day with like the reflectors, the whole crew, you know, in the middle. People just laying out, and it did That's make awesome. Us all kind of aware of the space. I don't know.
What about with your family? That's one thing that I've found too, that I feel a lot more odd one out within my family for being gay, even though I have other gay family members, but there's something about it. Like at 4th of July, I found out that a couple family members listened to this podcast and I was immediately mortified. And I'm just like, I can't believe they invited me after listening. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate. I have like, I don't think you could find two parents more supportive than mine, like in every sense of the way, like they would come into the city to watch my gay basketball league games. Like they just were on it. But I think for like the time between figuring out that I was gay and then knowing I needed to tell my parents, I just come from a conservative Judaism. Like I come from a conservative Judaism, Jewish background. So I just was like, you're going to marry a nice Jewish boy. That's like what you're going to do. So I think that there was like a lot of fear of like letting my parents down just from in general. Like I've just been so supported. You're like, you've given me so much, how could I disappoint you in such a huge way,
right?
You know, so like that was I think very scary for me, like walking on those eggshells. I introduced the topic to them by dating a woman who was 14 years older than me and not Jewish and being like, can you accept this please? And they did. I mean, they took them a minute, like appropriately so, but yeah. they were on board. But I think that like now I'm almost seen as like the cool one who like, you know, is like, right. Oh, you're living in Brooklyn doing comedy and you're gay. Like I'm what I'm picturing all the cool people in the queer community. Like I'm the cool, what they're picturing me as of the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like, so you're the awesome one out.
I mean, I'm not only like trying to like toot my own horn, but when I came out to my sister, she was like, so I have a gay sister? Awesome. You know, she was like, cool, I'm going to tell all my friends that I have a gay sister. I'm like, okay. You know, it's like that was, it's hard. I want to say, I mean, I still definitely have like weirdness about being like coming out to people who are new or who I don't know. Like it's just, or I'll be like, my girlfriend, like I'll kind of like, it's like still weird for me to say it in like a very, my boyfriend and I, like,
right,
well that feels weird. I've never literally never
you said it
that,
really natural right now.
I know, I'm not yucky. So it's definitely like still it's new enough to me that doesn't come out easy.
Yeah,
but there's no reason for it. Like no one's given me a reason for it not to come out. Everyone has been very accepting. It's just like my own struggles that are manifesting onto like the situation, which is unfortunate. But I feel very fortunate that I have been part of a very supportive family, which is not good, you know, topic. It's not interesting. It just is what it is.
It gives people hope.
Yeah.
Yes.
You too could be part of my family.
That's what I tell people. My parents are really supportive too, especially for Iranian parents. And my sister, in classic little sister form, when I came out to her, was like, yeah, I think I might be fluid too. I'm like, all right. I'm gonna steal it. Steal in the spotlight.
I think my sister's as straight as they come. So
yeah, same for mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, like being the odd one out, it gets a bad rap, or it I don't know, it makes it sound like, oh, you're all alone or something like that. But my favorite people are the oddballs, are the ones that don't fit in.
Yeah.
And
I think the big thing is that, like, where everybody is an odd one, like, there's no one who's not. And anyone who says that they are is lying. Like,
right.
And even if truly you're in your little town, you're in your little community, and you are, like, the only person of this way, there's someone else who is of that way, just like across the state line. You know what I mean? I know it's hard to, like, you can't, like, get out or whatever, but, like, now that, thank God there's the internet, like, you know, like, but there's always someone, even, like, the weirdest things that aren't even weird, but, like, there's always a community. That's the coolest part.
Right. And then people just, they have their own things that they're odd one out about. Like, there's so many things, like, so this gets me into, we're talking about this topic because you have a podcast.
I do.
It's called
Alone at Lunch. Yeah, you can tell it. Let's all say it together now. One. Okay. Oh, one.
Alone at Lunch.
Alone at lunch.
We did alone at lunch.
I'll sync it in the edit. Okay.
Yeah, and our little, we have, like, our quote-unquote, like, tagline is, like, alone together. Like, everybody is... We're all going through stuff on our own, but we're all doing it together.
And I did an episode, and when you had asked me to do it, I was just kind of, like, jotting down, like, okay, what were some times that I felt like the odd one out? And I had things from, like, all different parts of my life, a lot of them that had nothing to do with being gay. And yeah, there were so many moments, and, like, those are the defining things about you, and that's what makes you who you are. So I love the concept for the podcast. It was a lot of fun, and people should give it a listen.
Thank you. And the fun part about it is I don't ever tell, like, in my brain, I will be like, okay, this guest may talk about this, and they might never ever bring up the thing that in my brain I was like, that's the thing that they're going to talk about that makes them the odd man out. And, like, it's just like, oh no, they actually have all these other things that are in their own head, like, what makes it so it's just funny. It's really interesting and cool, like, people's stories that you wouldn't really ever know.
Awesome. And where can people follow you on social media?
Oh my goodness. I am Carly J Montag on Instagram and Twitter. I have a TikTok. I had one TikTok go viral way back at the beginning, like 1.something million. And ever since then, it's been a way downhill. So go find that one TikTok, support that one, get me back in the cream. And then Carly Montag comedy.com. It's got shows everywhere. We have a new show coming out, self-care comedy show, which is a show I'm producing with Emily Walsh, my Alone at Lunch podcast, and another comic, queer comic, Marissa Riley. And just check us out.
Love it.
Well, I can't wait to play bowling.
Yes, let's go play bowling together.
I can't wait to go bowling as a group where no one will be the odd one out. Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Do it. Yeah, thank you so much, Carly.
Thank you so much. This was amazing.
It's time for our listener question, and Melody, this one is for you, and maybe not as personal as the one that I got a couple weeks ago, but still a fun one.
Yeah, not about my body, but I love it that way. Okay, this week's listener question. Melody, what are the best queer bars / hangs in Chicago? Now, I will preface this by saying I have not lived in Chicago for a few years now. There has also been a full pandemic. I don't know what survived. So let's start off with highlighting past guest Kristen Caza's Slow Mo Party and Reunion Chicago. Look up Reunion Chai. Just follow Kristen Caza for the queer hangs in Chicago. Those are the best, the coolest, the people you want to be around. Like, nothing but good vibes, good music, attractive queers. Okay? Inside and out, I mean. Of course.
What about the unattractive queers? Where can we find them?
I added that.
Wrigley Field. Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know what the unattractive queers do.
They're all at the CPAC conference. Yeah. That's where the unattractive queers are.
Yeah. Otherwise, let's start with, say you're looking for a queer bite to eat, you might want to head down to the Queer Beacon Chicago Diner. I mean, it's a diner. Straight people eat there too, but I think it's great for people watching. It's in Boys Town in Chicago. I did see Lady Gaga walk into it once when I lived in Boys Town.
Kick ass.
So it's got a nice big old queer stamp of approval. There's also Big Chicks. I hope that's still open. Big Chicks always had such fun dance parties. It's uptown in Chicago, and it's right next to Tweet. When I was a queer in Chicago, Tweet is where we used to go for brunch, and that's where we would just like ogle all the cool lesbians brunching. Tweet brunch. Look up that hashtag. I bet there's still some fun shots. The Beauty Bar in Chicago. We have a beauty bar here too. I wonder how many beauty bars there are. Are they like in every city, or I've only lived in Chicago, New York, as far as cities go. So I don't know, but
possibly.
I will say the Chicago one's superior to the New York one. So if you're judging beauty bar just off New York, no, Chicago's is so much more fun, so queer. It's also, they've got like manicurists, fun photographers hanging out there. Just a good hang. You can shop local in Andersonville, the lesbian neighborhood, though a lot of people tell me it's now been pretty gentrified. And by that, I mean by gay men. a lot of gay men live there, and it's the rent's gone up. But there's Women and Children First, a important space. It is a feminist bookstore, and it's important that we support it and keep it going. I used to do storytelling shows there. They have good programming, too. So just a good place to check out, not just for the books, but live lit.
You recently mentioned a really fun drag brunch you went to. Do you want to shout that out in case somebody missed it?
Yes. I recently had the good luck to snag a ticket to Drag Me to the River drag brunch in Chicago. It was unlike any drag brunch I'd ever been to before. I've been to some where they've put on a good show. Nothing like the commitment I've seen from the drag queens at this show. They were doing death drops from the top of booths, like stairs, the bar, a very entertaining show that I highly recommend if you get the chance to go to. Why don't you all let me know? Because I'll be planning a trip to Chicago soon now that I'm vaccinated and can travel again. I only went for a brief weekend for Allie's birthday in May. I'm planning a trip back for shows. And why don't you all tell me where to go to be fabulous and queer in Chicago? Because it's been a while, honestly.
Yes. And we have a lot of listeners there.
Definitely go to Andersonville. Definitely go to Boys Town. And if you hang out at Cole's Bar in Logan Square, you'll meet a lot of queers, too.
Gay amazing. All right. Well, you can follow us at Dyking Out, where you can let us know in the comments of this week's episode post of where to go in Chicago to be gay. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Patreon, where you can get an extra episode every week and so much more. That's patreon.com/dykingout. You can follow me personally at TGI Carolyn.
And you can follow me at Melody Kamali.
Thank you for diking out with us this week.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.